Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant, and I still loving you. I'm walking down
by Shout Even Shy, and sung by her, and she is fabulous, and I love that song, and I'm still hoping that it'll get published someday so that it can be bought in the stores. Mr. J. Hatter is the genius behind that song. This is a team of voices, and we are a poetry group under the umbrella of allpoetry.com, the largest poetry group in the world. And we are here most every night with different topics and different hosts to bring you poetry to enjoy. And tonight we are having an open poetry evening, and we already have a few people in the studio. And I'm going to hi Sky. Sky Darkholm is here. She's going to be with us for about an hour, so that's great. And then I have somebody on hold. And I'm going to say welcome to the evening 440. Who's calling, please?
Hi, it's Stephen.
Hi, Stephen. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Did you have to read and run, as they say?
Yes, I do, unfortunately.
Okay, let me find your piece and then I'll stick her in the room for you. here it is. What's the weather like where you are?
It's beautiful today, mid-70s, sunny. It's a wonderful day. How about you?
Oh, it's perfect. It was, we didn't have the humidity that we've been having the last several days, so it was really a nice breezy day, sunny, warm enough to go to the beach kind of day. It was really great. So here is your poem, Into the Room It Goes.
And I just dropped my device almost on my face. All right. I wrote this to a prompt that you had up a while ago about two cars in Ohio, and they managed to collide.
Yeah.
I had to write to that since I live in Ohio, and I call this Ohio drivers have improved. And it goes like this. Homemade two-cylinder combustion engine tooling down this dusty dirt road. Waved a carriage past a half a mile back, but did manage to pass my grandmother while she was walking home from the grocer. Reached down and squeezed the black rubber ball to make two quick, sharp Canadian goose mating calls. She jumped out of her threadbare boots, yelling words at me with a crooked middle digit raised. I'm still chuckling. I put the pedal down to the metal in hopes to speed away without recognition, but I dare say I heard her use my full name. Hitting a top speed of 8 miles every hour, realizing a need for some sort of barrier against the insects and dust, just as something enters my eye. Feeling safe, however, on a straightaway, only one other automobile in the state, so I begin rubbing my eyes. Odd. How could there be an echo in these fields of corn? Seems like I hear two engines. I open my eyes and... bam.
Crunch! That was really good. Yeah, that's pretty amazing.
Thanks.
That story, and I thought you did a great job in writing it, too. It's pretty amazing that there were only two cars in the whole state, and they crashed into each other.
Hello. How could that be?
Pretty amazing stuff. I love your videos that you have on there, too.
Thanks, yeah.
So what did you think of that guy?
Oh, I thought it was wonderfully, wonderfully clever. You know, Stephen, you have such a great sense of humor, and especially when coming into storytelling. I gotta say, my humor skills aren't always there when it comes to like kid poetry. It's okay, but you know, poetry geared towards adults with cleverness. You know, I don't always do. It's not really my it's not really, you know, a shoe I put my foot in very often. So I always love and admire people that can do this kind of humor so well and such at ease, and you always do. This was no different. And, you know, the topic of having, like, these crazy things that happened and to kind of create, put yourself in first person and make it your own, I thought was just wonderfully, wonderfully clever. And I think the Canadian goose really got Andrea going. that was a great shout out there. Yeah, that was a really great shout out. So, excellently done.
Thanks.
Yeah, I thought that was really great too. You sticking that in there made me laugh. I think that, let me see now. I'm sorry that there was not more people to comment for you, but... there's nobody else in the studio just yet, but I thought you did a great job of it. I thought the humor was great, and I appreciate your writing to the prompt for sure. And if any of you listeners could see what little videos he had added, it was really, really good because he's got, I forget their names. Laurel Hardy, yeah. Sitting on a car, and it looks like it was went through a saw and was cut right in half, and they both fall on either side. So it's really a very apropos kind of picture or video. And then on the bottom, when they crash into it, shows these two old. What year car do you think those are?
I don't know. They're not old enough, though. I'd say those are probably 30s, maybe 40s, probably.
Yeah. So they're crashing into each other, and that's, I thought that was it was perfect for this poem as well. I'm glad that you enjoyed writing to it, too.
Yeah,
and I
fun.
Thank you.
I did a little bit to try to find out like the top speeds of the cars back then and everything. It shocked me to say eight miles an hour. You'd get passed by a horse and carriage in one of those cars.
Yeah, I betcha. The fun days. I really like the old style cars though more than today's cars. I always have.
Yeah, me too. I'd like
so
a late
60s
model.
Night.
Model.
Night tonight.
What's that?
What's that?
I had to pick up some takeout for one of my clients in town at the, we have a seasonal fish and chips place, and they have a cruise night every Wednesday. So they got all the old cars, and they can go look at all the old cars.
Nice.
Yeah, they do that in our town square every... It might be every Wednesday, too. Yeah, I think it is.
Yeah, I think people most generally have some kind of car shows weekly at the local parking lots, you know. And so can you stay for a Sky piece?
Sure, I can stay for one.
Oh, you can do another one if you want. The piece I dropped was for his show. He already heard it, but I mean... You can definitely do it if you want
for
to.
We'll play it so that he, because he has to think. Do you have a show tonight?
Yeah, we do. In about 45 minutes, we do, yes.
And what's your show about?
It's our monthly... Thomas Kincaid on the Poetic Inkling. So we got paintings from Thomas Kincaid as prompts to write to.
Oh, nice.
It's always a pretty good thing. Yeah.
Well, Skies
yeah.
is on the board
he's,
now.
He's
if you want to click on it, we'll listen to her read her piece.
Yeah.
It's a recording. I'm just gonna press play. Yep.
Well, you get a recording.
Into the Dark by Sky Darkly. There are leaves in the cobwebs, tiny vines curling like yellow nails, reaching, paper bricks that sweat, edges folding in on themselves, like button-down collared shirts, neatly folding in coffins, blue mechanic cups, grease stains that lick with fire tones, switchblade teeth, yellowing. And in the distance, there's a rat playing piano, chewing strings and spitting out bones. Sewer wells that mirror lakeside view, dead bodies in the water, flowing up from the dark, hollow like a turned up top hat, flooded with whispers. Reach in, I have found what you have lost. A jack-in-the-box, missing springs, and a smile. Jack, who broke his back on the hills of those fading leaves, on the hill that caved in on itself, turned up grass on carnival wheels, we spinning, spinning, latching the heels of memory and pulling them down, down, down. Into the dark. And home.
Holy guacamole. I love this. Dark. Intriguing. Scary. Very, very deep and frightening place. Down, down into the dark. Excellent, excellent, excellent. I can't say it enough. Even what you think.
Yeah, I like this a lot, too. I like the darkness in it. I wrote a comment, and what I said was that these are the kind of visions I see when I close my eyes. Random, dark, and disturbing images that sometimes seem so real that I fling my eyes open to make them go away. But I thought this is an excellent dark and discomforting write. And the one thing that I have to say is that the top hat, I reach in, I have found what you lost. Don't reach in, because nothing good will come of that. It's an excellent write.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was definitely the intention, was that scary reach in and pulling out memory. Because it's about memory and trauma.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what it made me think
wow.
of?
Wow.
Have you ever
now,
seen
we have
the
Deb
movie?
Deb Lee has joined us. Hi, Deb.
Hi, Deb.
Deb? Is that you? 856?
Yeah, I'm here. Sorry, I didn't hear you.
Okay.
Oh, hi, Deb.
Did you happen to hear Guy's poem? Not sure what's going on there, but Sky, this is really, I have to say again, I mean, it's just a really brilliant piece. And you were saying that you wrote it 4 days ago, and the inspiration was what was the inspiration?
Well, I wrote it in 2019. I just posted it 4 days ago for Stephen's show over at the Mortuary.
Okay.
But I'm kind of curious what it made Stephen, because he was saying that it made him think of something.
Oh yeah. I was going to type it on the board, but there's a movie done, I think late 70s, Flash Gordon. Queen did the whole soundtrack for it. There was a scene where Timothy Dalton was the main character at the point. There's this huge stump in the middle of the room with a lot of holes in it, and somewhere down in that stump was this creature with a deadly sting. And to go from boyhood to manhood, you had to put your hand in one of the holes and hope that you chose right. That's what it made me think of.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, Lady A, it's true metaphor underneath the dark images is about memory and about trauma. That's why it says at the end, it says, on the hill that you did not self, and then it talks about the carousel, I'm going to say carousel, but that's really what it is, the carnival wheels, spinning and spinning, so memory coming back and folding in on itself, but then also where it says latching the heels of memory and pulling you down. So it's kind of like your cycles of life, but being pulled down by that memory into those dark spaces.
Because the way you started out is, I found, I don't think anybody else caught this or not, but the way you started out, it says there are leaves in the cobwebs. Rather than there are cobwebs in the leaves. It's like the cobwebs
yeah.
have been there forever and ever, and the leaves grew into it, rather than the leaves being there first and the cobwebs growing over top. Was that on purpose or that just that by accident that I'm reading it like that?
No, those are the images that came to mind when I was writing. So the leaves, so the cobwebs are meant to be a set fixture of past representation of past memory. And then obviously the leaves are the moments in memory. And that's why it says reaching. So all those things that are happening are in fact memories throughout the entire piece. Paper bricks that sweat, edges holding in on themselves, like button-down collared shirts. Those are your memories neatly folding themselves, but they're folding themselves in those coffins because sometimes not all memories are pleasant. So, and then it goes down to the unpleasantness, just images. And then again, you know, representing, you know, there's a rat playing the piano, chewing strings and spitting up bones that still those dark images of those memories. And then, you know, just that. And then again, of course, like I said at the end, the point of the heels is where it says reach in and I found what you've lost. That is, in fact, very much on the way that Stephen perceived it with their reaching in and finding a monster. That is exactly what it is, except your memory is playing a trick on you, saying, reach in, I found what you've lost. You've lost, you know, something in your childhood, but when you reach in, there's something very sinister there. And that's where that comes in, all those things. And then by the end, the memory itself is pulling you down into the dark. So...
it was brilliantly written and certainly creatively written, knowing the background of it now. And I think that you did a really great job on it. Deb, you're back with us. Can you hear me now?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you now. Did you get a chance to read her piece or no?
Yes, I did. Okay. One impression that I get from it is in the two words in between many of the stanzas and the format of them, you get the trickling feeling like the leaves falling. You were saying about the opening stanza, I was seeing some of those fallen leaves stuck in those webs, but I thought it was interesting the way you took it. That's one of my favorite things, how we all interpret things. And where's that? There's those switchbladeable teeth yellowing. And it's a rat plays piano, chewing strings and spitting up bones. I mean, what was the other one that struck me? A jack-in-the-box missing springs and a smile. Jack, who broke his back on the hill? I mean, it was like the nursery rhyme feel was bleeding into the darkness and everything. It was like a it was like a nightmare into the dark. I thought this was excellent.
It really was.
And is it okay if I comment on Stephen's too?
Sure.
Thank you.
I was cracking up on the "I put the pedal down to the metal in hopes to speed away without recognition. But I dare say I heard her use my full name. Well, you know your butt is in trouble when you hear your full name." That part just really made me happy. And it's ridiculous, but it really made me happy because I used to cringe when I would hear Deborah Lee, which is my first and middle name combined, because that meant I was in trouble. I know I heard my full name. Uh-oh, what did I do? Now I do it because hearing my full name makes me think of my parents. So I use both. Little secret there. Anyway, I really got a kick out of the whole poem, but mostly the memory that you gave me in the middle with the visions of the look on the face when I just put the pedal to the metal and when you realize you heard the full name, you know, it hit the fan. and then hitting that top speed of 8 miles an hour. So I think you did great with those. Both two awesome poems.
They are, aren't they? Great stuff. Thanks for those comments, too. I think that I'm envious that you can write as dark as you do too at times, Deb. It really surprises me, but it's a pleasant surprise always. And Sky's piece was just so brilliant. I felt it was a fun poem for me because you could put so much into it, your own message, your own interpretations, and there can be many to this particular poem, I think. I thought it was really great. Now, Deborah Lee, would you like to read something on the radio right now?
Sure, I can do that.
Now, let me get yours up. Hang on a second. Yeah. That, this was from that show as well. And I am going to go over here and put it in the room. Oh, look at the mouse playing the piano. Okay, Deb, there's yours. How come that didn't turn red?
Okay, doggy. Let's see here.
Yeah, it won't. Have you got the... No, it's not the... The link is not it's working. Can you load it up for me, the link?
Sure, let me go get it.
Stephen, thanks for joining the show tonight. Much appreciated. Appreciated your poem and your presence. So wish you good luck with your piece, your evening tonight on your radio program. So thank you again for coming. Yeah, Sky loaded that up too. Okay, thanks, Sky. Okay, Deb, go ahead and.
Okay, it's called The Backside That Fueled a Battlefield and Death. Here we go. At the Buttocks Battle on the coastline county, a military man drops his trousers, bending as he flashes the moon, shocking the people and the riot rousers. Then, rage exploders like... Exploders? Anyway, rage explodes like a latex balloon, pricked with a grin. A pen! I can't read. I'm sorry. Rage explodes like a latex balloon, pricked with a pin as it bursts in the din, and the big crowd of guys stirs, head spin. Outside the temple, soldiers and pilgrims rise, the fists eyes. Now the battling bodies are dropping like flies, punching and kicking and shrinking the crews, leaving townspeople breathing the stench death brews. And I wrote that because your prompt said that the first mooning is recorded in history was in 66 AD when a Roman soldier mooned Jewish pilgrims on their way to Jerusalem. This caused a riot, an over-response by the Roman military, and the death of thousands, which blew me away.
Holy cow.
Yeah, so I went looking for more things, and Patch Adams, I think a lot of people saw that. Okay, well, that's the movie where he wears the clown nose and Patch Adams was a doctor.
Oh,
Robin
yes,
Williams,
and that's graduation ceremony?
Yeah, and they do a three-day event to raise money for the Institute, and 200,000 people pay $100 each to moon as a group and lend a hand with local projects in an effort to raise money for that institution, which I found fascinating. And
isn't that hilarious?
Right.
Wow.
During the battle of, which I can, my screen's dirty. I can't read it. During the Battle of Crecy in 1346, when King Edward III of England took Caen on his way to Crecy, several hundred Norman soldiers exposed their backsides to the English archers, and many of them paid a high price for doing so. yeah.
Pretty crazy stuff, isn't it?
I got two more. A member of the early explorers of the Atlantic coastline noted that the tribe in Maine practiced this custom, the one above. Sorry. Since 1979, the annual mooning of Amtrak train is an annual tradition in Laguna Niguel, California. On the second Saturday of July, people spend a day mooning passing train, and some of the passengers ride the train that day just to witness the event. This has inspired a chain of train moonings throughout the country. Last one. In June 2000, a mass mooning event was organized outside the Buckingham Palace. A large police presence prevented a large-scale mooning, but a few individuals did so. This event is known as the Moon Against the Monarchy. And in
well, those are great ones that you looked up. It's pretty crazy when you start looking back at some of this stuff to see what people have done that's gone down in the history books, isn't it? Yeah.
It is. It's like, what? Yeah, it was quite fascinating. Who knew?
Exactly. How about you, Sky? What did you think?
I was having a hard time getting over the picture at first, Deb. What is happening there? Now, have you ever seen Braveheart?
Braveheart, Mel Gibson?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I've seen it, yeah.
Pieces, I think. I don't know if I've ever actually watched it start to finish, but I know of it.
So they do that in the battle. They all moon the other side, and the archers all pull the archers out. That's actually in the movie.
Okay, maybe I'll check it out.
You just see the whole line of them mooning. And then the archers come in. So it's, I'm curious to see if that was where the movie got that idea, was from your information that you provided. So I'm going to have to go do some research after this to see if that's where that inspiration had come from to implement in that movie. I thought this was great. I really loved the research that you did within it and not just brought in this one instance, but brought in some rather weird and, you know, humorous pieces where everybody's mooning everybody. So, which is really funny that this came about. It's weird how things, I was at an appointment today with a client and they were doing some things and moving around some PT stuff and my person that I was with, they were saying, you're not supposed to moon them because their pants moved down a little bit. And it's really funny how things, like, nobody ever says the word mooning to me, but it's weird how that happened today, and I heard it, and then I'm hearing it later tonight. I don't know. I just find those coincidences really kind of odd and weird because it's not something that I normally see or talk about. It's not like people are running down the street and say, we're going to moon you. So I thought that was really funny in itself. Your poem, a wonderfully telling to the story that was presented in the prompt, but also the research that you went and told us about all these other instances, you know, we're all connected somehow. And if it's by mooning, then it's by mooning. So, this is kind of crazy. The buttock battle. The buttock battle. Like, if I was, like, if so I don't know if you guys, this ever happens to you, but do you ever, like, I always think about poetry. It's I don't know why. It's just always like that. And so when people say random things during the day, like I'll just randomly say, oh, wow, I'm going to write a poem about that. That sounds really cool. I did a favorite weird things. And if someone said to me the buttocks battle, I would immediately be like, wow, that, I'm going to write a poem about that. It's so creative. Just
that could
itself.
Go so many ways.
I know. That's what I mean. It's just a brilliant thing to kind of implement. It just that in itself was just absolutely brilliant. The buttocks battle, and throughout the whole piece, of course, was wonderfully done. Yeah.
Thank you, Sky. Appreciate it.
Thank you, ladies, for participating. Now I'm going to ask you a question. Have you ever mooned anyone?
I really racked my brain trying, because I figured you would ask that question. I really cannot remember mooning anybody. Maybe, if anything, maybe a story for a different room. A suggested peek towards my husband or something, but as far as I can remember, no. I think it's at the time when it was happening around me, it was more of a guy thing, and I think all the guys in my family have done so, down to my sons. No, one of my two sons. One would never. Anyway, I don't think so.
I can honestly say I've never moved anyone. I'm way too reserved for that. I'm way too uptight.
I've never mooned anyone, but I have flashed a few people.
A few, huh?
Uh-oh. I'll save that for another day, but it was
I'm
kind of fun.
I'm too uptight to Lady A. I'm prude.
I've got one in the room. So it's called It's in the Air. And I just perused it through, and I think it's fine. So this is called It's in the Air. Love is in the air, like a wild new frontier, new growth in spring, forest floors, flower beds with tulips and things. Babies born, new life brought forth, new love transforms. Love is in the air, seen in colors red, pink, and blushed cheeks. Eyes sparkle when thoughts of lovers appear. Hearts flutter when they're near. Trembling fingers touch excitement like rivers rush. Love is in the air. You know when life is sunny, there is no despair. Poetry written like Cummings and Neruda. Making love in Aruba. Fantasies become reality. Each kiss, each touch, a flame tree. Love is in the air. Tenderness, gentle caress. Lovers share magnolia, jasmine, roses bloom. Sense enhance love in bloom. I love how love feels between two. I give my love, my all to only you. End poem.
Yeah, I remember that one. Beautifully mm-hmm. sensual. Longing for what is and isn't in the air is showing all through it.
Yeah.
And I like how you started each one with love is in the air, like a wild new frontier. Love is in the air, seen in colors, red, pink, and blush cheeks. Love is in the air, you know when life is sunny, there's no despair. Love is in the air, tenderness, gentle caress, lovers share. There's a brevity inside just from the first lines down.
Thank you.
What do you think, Sky?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't hear that. I thought it was wonderfully done. It's beautifully sensual. I love how you brought into the heart to flutter when they're near, trembling fingers touch excitement like rivers rush. I love that inner line rhyme, which you do quite well. You do the inner line rhymes and the alliterations quite well in your poetry in general. Again, the fantasies, the realities, each touch are a flame tree. I like the train. Of course, I love the flame tree because you're bringing in trees here. Essential piece. Uh-huh. I don't know. Trees are like a love language to me. Someone was just like, let's go take a walk in the forest. I'm like, oh, my gosh, I'm all in. So I love that. And then I really also love magnolia, jasmine, roses, bloom, scents, enhance. And, again, you're packing so much in there. Almost in a point where it's breathless, which love can all often be. Really well done.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So I'm going to, let's see, I think I should probably I could play. It might be a short evening tonight. It's hard to say. I'm going to put Budos in the room. He has a SoundCloud. So I'm going to play his right now. And it's going to go into the room. And then once it's in the room, I'll push the SoundCloud. There we go. And then... Oh, Buddha, where are you?
It says 00.
Zero, zero, Frank.
All three of yours are together at the top.
Zero, zero, for
Lady First, there's
a
section of mine. Then there's several that are for Sweet Show tomorrow. And then there's three in a row that are yours. There you go.
Okay, so here is Voodoo for Lady A. And it's going to play right now.
Blog Talk Radio.
Not sure what's happening there, Deb.
Did you push it?
Yeah.
Let me see.
Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, there definitely must be a problem because it says 41 minutes and 3 seconds. I'm fairly sure that it's not that long. Let me just do something real quick and see.
Okay.
Mi amor.
Okay, I turned that off. I just wanted to make sure it wasn't the studio. It seems to only be Budos. And like I said, it says 44. I tell you what, do something else, and I will see if I can figure out what's up and get this straightened out for you.
All right. We need a reader for Heavenly Angel, and would you like to do that, Sky?
Yeah, I'd love to read for Heavenly Angel. Get over there.
You're putting it over? Okay.
Do you drop it? I meant get back on that page.
Oh, okay. I thought you were doing that. Okay, I'll do that. I'll put it in. Not a problem. Okay. And here it goes into the room.
This is actually... Oh! This was for the show I did over at LCN, a forum show. This is called The Song I Sing, a Nanette by Heavenly Angel. Your love sings the sweetest melody. I know each note and tune by heart. You bring beautiful music. My heart breaks out in song. You are every note. You are each verse, harmony I sing, you. Yeah.
Beautiful, a little brevity, isn't it? It, just trying to think, she wrote one recently, before the one that she had before this, what was it called? I'm not sure, but she's been writing some really beautiful pieces, and I really like this. Your love sings the sweetest melodies. And then I know each note and tune by heart. It just, the whole piece was just a very concise moment of love as that note, those notes, you know, bring to life. And you are every note. You are each verse harmony I sing. You, gorgeous piece. Really loved it. What did you think, Deb?
I agree. I thought it was a gorgeous brevity. I'm not on it because I'm over trying to convert this thing. But
No. I can't quote any lines. I was sitting here listening to Sky read for her as I was doing this, and she did a great job reading. But there's always a lot of beautiful emotion that shows in Angel's poem. And I'm trying to get back. There it is. My heart breaks out in song. You are every note. You are each verse. Harmony, I sing you. It was just a beautiful declaration. That's the word I was looking for. It was a beautiful declaration.
It really was. And you read it, Sky. What did you think?
Yeah, I thought it was beautifully done to the form. This is actually my second time reading it because I read it out loud too the first time. So, I was saying that I think I was talking about, you guys know I like to take pictures, and I was saying I would love to, you can do those pictures, do those little cards and stuff. A lot of people do that around here locally. There's a lot of farm stands and a lot of, like, crafting things that it's over where I am. They do that, a lot in the woodsy area. And I could just see her poems on those little picture cards, just like little love notes that you give to people. And just those wonderful brevity sentiments of love and admiration. And she does so well in that genre. I could definitely see her successful in an endeavor like that. So, Sandy is so great at doing romance. It's definitely in her realm of technique. But if you ever heard also Sandy do a dark poem, wow, she does. And she does it so well.
Yeah.
I don't read them very often, but I run a lot of dark prompts, and she'll write for me, and I'm like, holy hell, you can do dark too. so the diversity is very nice, but I would say she's definitely known for the romance and with good cause, because she does it quite well, and this is no exception.
Thank you for that. I've never read anything dark of hers.
Oh, yeah, she does it good. I remember the first time I read it, I was like, oh, my goodness.
Me too.
I was like, wow, you really nailed that. Yeah,
Was it just me, or did you have to look back up at the poet's name and reassure yourself that you were really reading the poem that you had, right? Wow.
Yeah, but now I know. Now I know she's got it in her pocket, so I'm not too surprised, but I still am like, this is really, really good. She wrote me this. It wasn't really dark, but it was really, really, she had to do that. I mixed Halloween and different, it was one of my special storyboards, and she had Tweety Bird. And so Tweety Bird was all up in like a haunting area, so she had to write me a haunting dark tale with Tweety Bird in. Oh, it was the head of this horseman. It was Sleepy Hollow. That was it. So she did this really awesome poem, and it was like, I tried, I had this horseman. And she wrote it just like that. And I have to say, it's one of my favorite poems by her, because the creativity level was just amazing. I know I went a little off topic, sorry, but it was just really, I just can't get that out of my head, because it was so funny, but it also was a little bit of dark with the head of this horseman aspect of it. But with Tweety Bird, like how, like, like, crazy,
It's talent. I'd like to read some of her dark stuff. I think it would be interesting to see the contrast with the two of them and two styles of poetry. I didn't think I could write dark. I've written a few dark pieces that came out not too bad, but I think it's you're mega talented when it can ooze out of you just like that for whenever you desire it to fall off your pen, And we've got a lot of talented people in this group, and it's always a pleasure to read all of them when you get a chance. And I'm going to check the studio again, and it's just the three of us here. So, Scott,
I wrote his name in all capital letters on the corrected one.
Okay. Okay, let me see. Oh, I better refresh because I haven't refreshed the studio. Okay, I got it here. All right, ready for Budos? Let's try this.
I didn't know you yesterday, and now I do, and now I do. It seems forever since I felt like I do, like I do. Is it real or just a dream? Am I sleeping in my bed? Are you an angel from above? Or just thoughts floating in my head? I couldn't breathe just yesterday, and now I do, now I do. It seems forever since I cried, like I do, like I do. Is it me or is it you? Are you blessing me with love? Touching deep from soul to soul to be our greatest story ever told. And if you're the one, then please embrace me so. And if you're the one, then please don't let me go. Let go. Couldn't see myself that day. Then I met you. Then I met you. It seems forever that I sighed, like I do, like I do. Now I'm blessed with thoughts of you, loving me in tender ways. Waking up with you today is the greatest story ever told. And if you're the one, then please embrace me so. And if you're the one, then please don't let me go. Let go, let go. I've been waiting a lifetime for years for you. I'd wait a lifetime for years, for you, for you, for you.
Well, that was quite beautiful, wasn't it? He's very talented, and I think that he puts poetry to music and makes these songs, and it's just brilliant. What did you think, Deb?
Hatter's here. I thought it was awesome. I think that he is so good at writing and singing these songs. It seems, I always get the biggest smile on my face because I can remember when, I was going to say way back in history when we first started doing poetry on the shows. I don't think anybody but AP was singing their poems,
now you flash forward 5 years and there's people singing their poetry. Every time, you know, you turn around, practically every show has at least one person singing a poem, but definitely we don't get have a week go by where someone's not singing, and quite often one of them people is Bud, and he does such an amazing job. Loved it.
He does.
Say hi, your lead.
Hey, buddy. Hatter, are you here? Are you mute?
No. I'm listening.
No, I'm not. How are you?
Oh, I'm all right.
Are you?
Just kicking back. Yeah, mellow night.
I think we should maybe go out dancing. What do you think?
Yeah, go ahead. I couldn't dance.
Oh, well, we can just imagine, okay?
I'm lucky to make it to the bathroom and back.
What are they saying about you anyway? Are they going to do another surgery, or what's happening?
Oh, I'm pretty sure they are, but I got to have the MRI Friday.
Okay.
And so he can take a look.
But, yeah. Well,
yeah.
I'm glad that you're calling in and spending some time tonight. So did you bring, or first I should ask, Sky, do you want to make a comment on Budo's song?
Yes, I thought it was excellent. I really, really enjoyed listening to it. To be honest with you, I didn't read along because it was so lovely with the tune. I just really just kind of closed my eyes and swayed with it. And I'm reading now throughout the poetry, and I just think it's so wonderful how people can be multi-talented and multi-faceted, where they can take poetry and put it into music. And I'm a big fan of music, and I tend to remember lyrics very well. I often say I could have been a genius if I didn't have so many lyrics in my brain taking up so much space. But I think it's because I love words, and I think that's why I love music, because good music to me has wonderful, beautiful lyrics. And what better lyrics is there than poetry? And Budo definitely brings that to the forefront and to the page and into his creations, which I always appreciate. And this is beautifully done. And I'm going to say good night and thank you for having me.
Thank you for calling in. I appreciate it very much. Good night.
We'll talk to you guys later.
Perfect. So, Hatter, did you bring something for me?
Yes, I did.
Okay, so we have a piece from you, and we might call it an early night, Deb, because I do believe there are only two poems after that. Hang on, let me just check and see. Poetic Picasso sent one in, and he's got a SoundCloud. And R. Morris also has a SoundCloud, and Hatter, and I've got through a couple in there if we needed it, but if it's okay with you, if nobody else calls in, we can call it an early night.
What do you want me to do?
Deb? Yeah, can you tell
me? I was going to say squirrels, but I'm trying to make myself say butterflies. Sorry, butterflies. Ask me again.
Yeah.
Hatter's going to put a piece in and read it, and then I've got two SoundClouds, and I was just saying that perhaps we'll call it an early night.
That's fine.
Okay. So, Hatter, have you got your piece in the room?
Yes, I do.
Oh, there we go. Okay, sounds good. All right. Go ahead, Hatter.
I've got a goodie. It's called My Mother's Hand. It goes like this. She would always lift me up she would always lift me up upon the curb that was way too high. My little legs would not reach, so I no longer would even try. She'd always ask me if school was okay and if I had a girlfriend. She would smile back when I looked up and blow a kiss she would send. She would ask me if there was something she could buy me that day. Anything at all, dear, is what my mother would say. Each day my stride got bigger, each trip to school and back, my mother's steps were shorter and I would carry my own backpack. The day came when my mother asked, do you need me to walk along? I feel a little bit colder, son. I kiss on the cheek, now get along. I walked alone to school that day. There was no one to hold my hand, no one to pretend to lift me up when the sidewalk became the sand. It was then I started to wonder who was to bring me home. I worried about my mother. I never walked home alone. I was told to come to the office. No smiles were worn that today. She said I was excused from homework and she hoped to see me again someday. She held my hand into the office. I turned and she was gone. I watched the grown-ups surrounding me, telling me to come along. That's when I saw my uncle standing, my aunt seated in a chair. Tears were running down their faces. Upon me, I felt their stares. I walked alone down the street today. 10 years have flown by. I stepped upon the sand at the curb that used to be way too high. I could feel the tug of my mother's hand lifting me up with her smile. I wanted to tell her to ask me, please, a girlfriend I've had for a while. I took the smaller steps home today. I reached there where no hand could hold. I don't remember this walk being so lonely and so empty and so cold. No kiss was blown to me today, no smile to miss me away. I took the small steps home so she would know that I'm okay.
Wow.
Simple.
And I mean, I've read this, heard you read this before, and it was always so emotionally charged, both sadness and happiness to think you had a mother that loved you this much. And you did a really, really good job, and I think that I read it as you still being that little boy. And you know, you wish that you still had your mom around to hold you and give you a hug every now and then to reassure you that you will be okay. I thought this was beautiful. I feel like crying when I read this piece. And it was just gorgeous. Deb, what did you think?
Well, this one's on more than a half a dozen lists. I like to watch as Hatter decides what pieces to pull out to vote, because it's rare that he brings something out that has been added to at least six. And this one, you take any loving, tender, emotional, breathtaking, grabs you by the gut. I mean, no matter what adjective you can think of in that area, it pertains to this poem. This is one of those powerhouses that you're almost speechless with emotion from even hearing it again the next time. That's awesome.
Yes. Yeah, this was just a story. It was just a story. My mother lived to be 75, 77, something like that.
Yeah, but the emotion that you evoke from it, your words, it's not just a story. It's a powerhouse.
Got me too.
You always are able to convey that kind of emotion with your poetry, no matter what the poetry is. And you have that gift about you that there's just something that is beyond special. And you say it in such a simplistic way, but it's so very intense. I don't know. I think you're amazing.
I write the poems that make the young girls cry. No, thank you. Thank you very much.
You and Fari Manilow.
Wow. Let me just see what, I'll just check the studio again. You know, it's pretty still quiet. A mother's hand, my mother's hand. Yeah, you can feel every word in it, and you can feel, you can feel the emotion. I remember when my grandkids were little, and I would hug them and everything, and I would put my cheek against their cheek, like just press against their cheek with mine, and I'd say, can you feel the love flowing into you? Can you feel it just flowing into you? And this is what this poem does to me when I read that with you, and it just, that kind of love, it's like osmosis. It flows into every pore of the one that's each one of you, really. You know, the mom's love and the kid's love back. So just beautiful piece.
Thank you again, lady. Thank you.
You're welcome. Now, we've had some laughter and we've had some love and we've had some music and we've had a lot of really beautiful pieces already, and I'm going to throw one of mine in there. Unless you get a second one, Deb, if you feel like you want to read a second one or an ad or two, but I'm going to
I have to go. I thought you got the two of you could do the last two poems together.
Okay.
But love and respect.
Okay, well, I'm going to. Okay, thanks, Deb. Love and respect. I'm going to put R. Morris's poem up, and then he has a SoundCloud, so
okay.
We'll play that, Hatter, and then I think Frank has also a SoundCloud, so we'll play that afterwards. So hang on a second. Where am I going? Going over here. And... here it goes. No, that's not it. Sorry, that's the wrong poem. Sorry about that. Because I am... Okay, hang on. I think I've lost his sound. I think I've lost his poem. I don't know where his poem went to.
In the studio.
Yeah, just hang on a second. I'm gonna go find the poem because I lost the link to the poem for some reason.
Okay.
And
do you need me to go on the studio?
No, I just hang on a second because I'm not sure what's happening here. I'm gonna go over there. And. Then I'm going to go here.
Well, we can go through the national calendar.
I got it right here. I lost the link to the poem, so I don't know how I did that. But anyway, I'm copying it now. I'm going to place it in the room, and then I'll push the SoundCloud.
National Pink Day.
There you go. And then I'm going to go in and... here it is right here.
That was a moment.
I'm going to press play. Play.
A profession that's not the norm, yet borders only absurd. In the mountains down the hollers, powerful engines could be heard. Decided to try something new. Put my driving skills to the test. From Harlan County to Asheville, didn't end well, you might have guessed. The city fathers got together, figuring how to make it work. Everyone involved in this illegal trade, from the mayor to the lowly town clerk. The hillbillies brew the dew. Most of it's safe, some burns red. Uncle Jesse tried it once, his eyes rolled back, he dropped dead. Billy Ray had a hot rod 50 Ford. Was a race car, but it never won. Popped a trunk. Man, it was huge. perfect for the weekly Asheville run. In the trunk was a steel tank. Loaded hooch made the car ride low. Truck springs took care of the problem. Now the truck no longer hauls cargo. Under the rear bumper were nozzles. A switch inside made the oil flow. When a revenueer was chasing you, in the rear view was quite the show. I always wanted to drive. Thought this life would be exciting. Told to keep away from this game. It's dangerous hauling white lightning. Other moonshiners didn't want me. They blew up my 50 Ford. It was a car I always wanted. It looked cool. That engine roared. Found another one from 57. A powerful 312 under the hood. Bigger and heavier than the 50, but it handled just as good. Blazing out of Harlan County. At first, it went fairly smooth. Problems I planned for didn't happen. I got settled into a groove. Bo Duke, he would have been proud when I jumped a gap at Cumberland. Crossed the stream at Maynardville, engine died. It's not going as planned. I finally got it restarted. Pretended I was driving the Grand Prix. Ahead, I saw the taillights of the G-Man. Oh snap, they're supposed to be chasing me. Pulled off the exit for Knoxville. Checked the map, found Kingston Pike. I heard this in a song once. Outside of Bearden, they're planning to strike. Kept going in spite of the tune. There they were, waiting to spring. Blocking the road, no way to get by. Lost control into this big electrical thing. The car quickly caught fire. The doors jammed, options were few. Like an atom bomb going off when flames caught the Mountain Dew. The next night, my funeral was held. Played some song about a bird in a tree. The car lights stretched for miles. This life, I guess, was not for me.
Magnolia tree, and as you said, I love you so. The whippoorwill sang sweet and low.
Wow, that was epic. I love the story.
Yeah.
I love how it was told. It was classically Southern, listening to your accent, Robert, and I could see everything was taking place. The mountains, you could feel them, the atmosphere all around you, and the places that you named. And then it just really came to life when you saw how, you know, you can see the still, you can see how they tried to avoid the G-men and, you know, all the different places that you named, like Knoxville and Asheville and Cumberland and all of these places, like you can visualize the old truck trying to get through without being noticed, and what a tragic ending to this piece as well. And speaking in the third person, the next night my funeral was held, and then you talk about the song that was played at the funeral, and I just, I thought it was a really, and then of course the movie, there was this, if I could read the author's notes, my favorite movie and song has always been Thunder Road by Robert Mitchum. And I had a dream one night, and that was, you know, and Robert Mitchum was probably, as a really, really young girl, was probably one of my favorite actors, and I think I had a crush on him when I was about 12, but this was a really beautiful piece. What did you think, Hatter?
Son, you're going to drive me to drinking if you don't stop driving that hot rod Lincoln. No, it was very well read, recorded, and the bootleggers, they were, that's what started NASCAR back in the day.
Oh, yeah?
In the 50s and early in the 50s and early 60s, there was a guy named Junior Johnson who was a moonshiner, and he was wanted by the law. And he would show up and run the Daytona 500 on the beach. He used to run it on the beaches in Florida. And by the time the revenuers or the cops found out he was there, he'd take off. So even though he'd win races, he couldn't stay because he was a wanted man. Only until about in the 90s, I think it was in the 90s that they gave him amnesty and gave him the honors that was given to him. He was one of the first champions of at Daytona.
Oh, really?
Absolutely, Jimmy Johnson. Everybody knew who he was, but he was always been wanted and couldn't claim his purses or the trophies or whatever they got back then. He was a hero. He was an icon of the NASCAR. Very dangerous.
You're just
a
veritable wealth of information, I have to say. You always have such great insight into different things, which you share that, and it's really fun to learn those kinds of things, I think. And just going to check the studio again. And thanks for that, Hatter. You always are able to fill us with
Let me Google it to make sure that I'm right. Robert Glenn Johnson Jr., better known as Junior Johnson, was a NASCAR driver in the 50s and 60s. He won 50 NASCAR races in his career before retiring in 1966. In the 1970s and 80s, he became a NASCAR racing team owner. Champion with Cale Yarborough and Darrell Waltrip. Now, when was the amnesty thing? I know that maybe it was an honorary thing. For what kind of car? The moonshiner turned NASCAR. He died in 2019 at 88. Yeah, I'd have to read into this bio, but I'm pretty sure that's this. I don't want to take the time to read in, but yeah, look up Junior Johnson. All sorts of stuff written about him.
Pretty amazing stuff. So Hatter, I got one more poem that's in the room there, and it's "I Am the Flame" by Poetic Picasso, and it's in the room there now, and I'll go back in and play it. And then I think I might read one more, and we'll go from there. Hang on a second.
Before you push the button, December 26, 1986, President Ronald Reagan granted Johnson the presidential pardon for his 1956 moonshining conviction. Yeah, he was convicted and never served time. That's what it was, 86.
And which president is that?
Ronald Reagan granted him a presidential pardon for his 1956 moonshining conviction.
That's amazing, isn't it? Well, okay, I'm going to play Francis in the room. I'm going to play his now.
Okay.
Pressing it now. There it goes.
Mi amor, another dull night slowly ends, and I am so lonely in the dark as the bitterness of the cold reaches beneath my skin. Then I just pretend that you are close, holding me in your warm arms, calming my sleepless nights while I still float in the shallow. I can't believe you're not here, and that you're too far away for me to feel your caresses as I lie in bed thinking about you. You were the first that I truly loved, the last that I will ever share my heart. And love is the flame burning in us, till the wax of our candle melts. Wherever you go, I'll be with you. Whatever you want, I'll give it to you. Whenever you need someone there, I'll be that flame, kindling the spark. After the fire and rain goes away, and you miss my smile and kisses, I'll be the flame to light up the fire with the sparks of our romance. Only you can erase my darkness and lead me into the light of dawn, where I roam the whole universe, just with you by my side always. We could watch the starry sky, imagining we are upon the clouds, dancing to the rhythm of a ballad, as we two-step into the heavens. Remember, oh remember, I am the flame, and you are the spark. Just remember always, I am the flame, and you are the spark, mi amor, mi flor, in the poem.
Wow. This was spectacular. It was very sensual and very romantic. He has the ability to speak the English language with such enunciation. He doesn't drop any G's, and he pronounces all the T's as we should be pronouncing them, but we have bastardized our language, I guess, in many, many ways. But with his voice and him able to articulate as it should be, and it sounds so very old English, certainly very romantic, and his profession of love, this person. And he starts it out by, you know, this adult night slowly ends, I am so lonely in the dark. As the bitterness of the cold reaches beneath my skin, then I pretend that you are close. Wow. What did you think, Hatter?
It was very well written. It reminded me of a Cheap Trick had a beautiful love song, The Flame. And now tell me if this isn't sort of does sound like the same kind of storyline. I pretend you still hold me. I'm going crazy. I'm losing sleep. I'm in too far. I'm in way too deep over you. I can't believe you're gone.
Well,
Hold on. You didn't let me get to the lyric. I'm down to the part.
I'm sorry.
Okay. That's all right. Because he talks about, you know, I can't believe you're gone. You were the first, you'll be the last. Wherever you go, I'll be with you. Wherever you want, I'll give it to you. Wherever you need someone, lay your heart and head upon. Remember, after the fire, after the rain, I'll be the flame. I'll be the flame.
Wow. This is so beautiful, isn't it? Sorry, I thought you were finished. Sorry, I was interrupting you. I apologize for stealing your thunder.
No. Yeah, just don't do it again. No, I'm kidding.
Okay, I promise. Just a beautiful piece. Francisco.
It was written for Cheap Trick. It was written for the Cheap Trick song. I didn't go far enough. So
I think it was called a parody. But my understanding of a parody is that a parody makes fun of the song in some way, or writes a funny rendition of the song.
Usually parody has humor in it. I think it's more like a mirror piece, a mirror poem. You mirror it. I don't know.
Yeah. Kind of, sort of, for sure. So what I'm going to do now, Monsieur Chapeau, is I'm going to dump one of mine in there. And I wrote, which one should I read? I'm going to read this one. And it's called... I think it's called this. Death is Calling. And it is a story of... Death is Calling by Lady A. Got it, Hatter?
Yep.
Crack, crystal, crack, cocaine, 3 C's, Oxycontin, hydromorphine, a junkie's dream. Just a few to choose from today's menu, recipes for death in all venues. Clouded by the smoke pipe's load, chasing a high you can never hold. You keep trying but don't succeed, only to pick the sores till you bleed. Eyes once brighter, empty and dead. Minds are altered, twisted, misled. Who is this girl, this boy, those kids? They once were kind and loving. Deeper, deeper into the abyss, circling the sewers and dead ends grip. Their back is turned to those once loved. Loved ones pray for a miracle above. Do you see the hands stretched out for you? Can you look beyond the drugs and dirt? Look hard, look deep, remember your roots. We are waiting for you to beat this brute. Don't turn your face away from us. We are the ones for you to trust. You're trapped. There's no joie de vivre. Death now calls, and we all grieve. And home.
Wow.
Pretty heavy duty.
Sad thing is, people that slip through the cracks in society and end up homeless that are not drug users end up having to deal with these people. It's very scary for them.
Mm-hmm. Yep, it's a big issue, a big situation, big problems with big solutions. And I think that there are solutions if we could just get with the program. And I think poverty, I've said it a million times, but poverty I think is at the root of addiction, homelessness, and alcoholism and all the rest of those isms. I think that the poverty, we need to really focus on it. We had come from very rich countries, and there's really, really, and truly no need of people living in poverty the way some of them do. So that's what I'm going to say about that, Hatter.
Yeah, it's another facet of leaders let us down. The homeless and the now not all. Some of them probably deserve what they got, but there are a lot of people that slip through the cracks on no fault of their own that the government just basically turned their back on. They were a problem. They were escorted to the city limits and just tossed aside, not cared about much.
Exactly.
And now it's hard to do anything for them because it's such a rampant and such a huge problem. They failed us. I mean, I don't know the answer. I would have, I don't know. But we, like you said, we are a rich enough country. It should have been done then, and we should have a handle on it. It shouldn't be like it is now. It is so bad out here in California right now.
It's remarkable, and it's absolutely mind-boggling how we have poverty like we do, and people are homeless. You know,
I heard the statistic that there's over 1 million empty homes, empty houses.
You're kidding. And then you have the military people coming home to after fighting on the fronts, and then coming home and fighting for their rights for medicine and treatments and housing and all the rest of it. It's just a horrible situation. Now I want to tell you something
like
that there was. Go ahead.
I said, military vets should live like kings.
Yeah. Absolutely. Now, there's the community that I live in has a group called the Casey Cape community, and so they post different things on Facebook, anything from a yard sale to pictures of the sunset and that sort of thing. It's quite a lovely group. And somebody posted today that, and it was on the news, I guess, that there's a bobcat, and I've got a film here of it. You can barely see it in the background, but there's a bobcat. They don't know if it's a lynx or a bobcat that was spotted in the backyard of one of the cottagers. And so there was a warning pictures that went up, and to be careful going out in your backyard. So that's another thing.
Yeah, bobcat.
I thought it was. Yeah.
Bobcat is usually more nocturnal. And they're a little different than a mountain lion. A mountain lion's bigger, but a bobcat, I would consider a little more unpredictable. When
yeah.
we would have them come into on Chicken Mountain, a mountain lion would come in and take, for example, take a big bird, maybe a turkey or a duck or a goose, and then take it away and feed its family. A bobcat will get into a pen and kill everything in it.
Yeah, but don't bobcats have no tail?
Yeah, they bobbed. The tail's bobbed.
Yeah.
And they got big catcher's mitts for paws, and they could leap from a standing position. They could leap about 12 feet in the air from a.
And lynx are the same, are they not?
They're the same. They're related to them. A lynx is related to them. They have tufts on the end of their ears. I believe they're a little smaller than a bobcat.
Yeah, and no tail
but they're pretty
to speak of.
Right.
So in
right,
this
yeah.
video
okay.
that I was looking at, where did I do that with that? No, hang on a second. Yeah, in this video that I'm looking at, this cat has a long tail.
Did you post it? Post it?
I don't know if I can. I'll try to post it. Hang on.
See if I can take a peeky.
How do I
because
do that?
Because a bobcat's more nocturnal. There's, you know, he's hunting for his babies.
Oh, somebody's here, and it looks like it's Mr. AP Taylor. Hello, AP.
Hi there, lady. How are you?
AP.
Welcome. Welcome to the evening, and I'm glad you joined us. We were just talking about the differences in bobcats, lynxes, and mountain lions. And group on Facebook where I live here, they have a community group, and they post all kinds of things. But there was a video of what they thought was either a lynx or a bobcat. But
yes.
the cat has a tail. So that kind of made me wonder if it was a mountain lion. Have mountain lions too, but we don't really have any mountains close by. So that kind of made me wonder. And I'm trying to find the video of it now just so I can post it over there so you can take a look at it and see what you think, because to me it looks like the it looks like the it has a long tail.
Yes. No, let me have a look.
I'm trying to find the link so I can post it on our wall thingy, but I'm not having much luck. Hang on. Excuse me. Well. I don't see it on here. But we do have critters from around. We have black bear and...
Saint what?
I'm sorry?
You live outside of Nova Scotia where?
No, it was in New Brunswick.
New Brunswick.
Mm-hmm.
And just, I'm trying to, I cannot see the new post in it at all, so. Just a second. I'm going to go on mute because I'm going to cough. Hang on.
Okay. It says cougar, skull, skin, and DNA, history of the big cat in New Brunswick. Black bobcat snared in New Brunswick, only 12th ever recorded north. That's 2016. So this is more recent, huh?
Because that would be on you. That's what we're saying. So, anyways, but I haven't written a single poem about a bobcat or lynxes. And, you know, you could have a quick book. So, you know, definitely no bobcat or lynx poems, had I?
I'm sorry?
Definitely no bobcat or lynx poems.
Did you post it?
No, I haven't got one.
Oh, okay. I thought you were looking at the pictures trying to find it.
No.
Sorry about that.
Oh, okay, I've got it wrong. Bobcats are the smallest cat in the species, with stubby tails, but the lynx are larger and have a tuft at the end of their ears. There's a difference between what you have up there are lynx. You don't have many bobcats up there, Lady A. That's what it says.
Okay. And we do, I think we have mountain lions.
Oh, I'm sure you do. Says you do.
I'm trying to get this thing to, so that I can get the actual link.
It says in most of the fights, the bobcat will beat the lynx in a confrontation. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it says. I'm trying to find anything that recently, it was 2016, around Christmas. 2017.
So this is 5:30 yesterday afternoon, and
okay.
I'm gonna see if I can share this. I'm gonna share this to my page. Okay.
They're almost endangered. The New Brunswick lynx is approaching endangered
lady,
species.
Lady, are you
there?
Yes, we do. We have black bear, and I think it's just black bear that we have.
Yep.
Okay.
Let me
see. I wonder if that's YouTube. How do I get that? Oh, I'm looking at it now. No, he does have a shorter tail. He does have tufts on his ears.
Sounds like a...
What color is he?
Sounds like a lynx, doesn't it?
I'm just trying to look to see if he's got any spots on him. can't really tell. He's quite a sturdy little fellow. He's got a black, the end of his tail is black.
Oh, yeah, there's a black lynx and a black bat, yeah.
I'm just going to copy the link, and I'm going to try to put it in the room and see if that'll make it. I'll see if it posts. And
please do.
Let's see. Let's try that. See if you click on that link. Yep, it brings you right to it.
Okay. Oh, okay.
There you go.
Here we go.
So, okay. I didn't have a lynx or a bobcat poem. Yeah? Didn't have one? But I've got one. You ready?
Can you see him, you guys?
That's
you
a
ready?
Bobcat.
Bloody up.
It's a bobcat, isn't it?
Yes.
Here we go. Lady A, I just did you a poem. You ready?
Okay, good. Read it for us, please, and thank you.
Is it a lynx or bobcat? We are looking for a tail. Who knows where they are at? A lynx has a tuft of regale. Definitely lions there. Off the mountains do sail, roaring as if they are a bear. These also on this trail. They are black bears, and they roam in woods, scaring Lady A into despair, like all predators should. End poem.
That's great. Oh, pretty amazing stuff, isn't it? I like, thank you. That was great, little piece of poetry. Love it.
6 minutes precisely.
Oh, I'm looking at the one that I thought he had a tail, but I guess it's his back leg that's moved into position. I've got a still shot of it. It's his back leg.
Mm.
So that cat is in my neighborhood.
No, you don't want to. You'd rather not sort of. Yeah, okay. You'd rather not sort of run into that in the middle of the night, Lady O.
No.
Solid little bugger.
And that isn't he? That was 5:30 today.
Yeah, no, solid. It wouldn't be. You wouldn't be mucking around with the size of those legs and paws.
No, he's a muscly little fellow.
That's what I mean.
Mm-hmm. Says
far away from that filming.
This one, the lady that took the pictures and the video said this bobcat or lynx was spotted in our backyard. He's not too big yet, around 2.5 feet tall and roughly 60 pounds. Keep a close eye on your pets and little ones.
Yeah, well, she's big enough. There you go.
Pretty amazing stuff.
Now I've got a lynx poem now. Like, I didn't have one before. Now I've got one. There you go.
So we don't have any more poetry left. Let me just double check
yes.
to make sure.
No,
we're all done our poetry. And have you got something else you'd like to read, AP?
Oh, look, I'm a big fan of this one from Donkeys Go, Lady Ace. Like, if I can read that, that'd be good.
Okay.
I read it a couple of weeks ago. I really like it. So, and I'll explain why in a tick. Dark Swept, Lady Ace. It goes a bit like this.
Okay.
A light lime green meadow grass, fluorescent tails of cattle to oceans swishing they fan, their deep baying echoes in grey quarters, salt water entwines me within sand. Waves as brumbies break over islands, rock thrones hear penguins kining, cloud storms jewel green bands, the lighthouse gold finding, dark cypress swept blinding on blinking sandstone foam, dissolves, binding, a guide I'm near home. I'm standing within a cemetery, gales in ascent, family plot uncovered as casket joins clan. hear the distant roars echoes over the waters, breeze cries and racks as I stand. Darkness gripping by silky fern fronds, shivers overtaking my frozen lining. Darker rule in muddy seep ponds, lighthouse sea, gold finding, cypress dark, swept blinding, blinking on sandstone foam, dissolves, binding, a guide, I'm near home. End poem.
Wow. You're the king of all the different forms of writing, and I like this one a lot. This is, I don't know what you call it. What do you call it?
No idea. I made it up. It's just a form. What I can say, though, is it's completely beautifully rhymed from the first three stanzas to the second three stanzas, except it's saying different. And I'm really very fond of that from a structural perspective.
Yeah. The repetition of the third verse.
Mm.
The two last couplets. No, the whole thing. Ah, but you have a difference there. Do you know what it is?
What's that?
In the third verse, you have dark cypress swept blinding on blinking sandstone foam. And then on the last verse, you have cypress dark swept blinding blinking on sandstone foam. So you've changed the order of the words in the first two lines. Did you do that on purpose?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, so you've got dark cypress swept blinding on the third verse, and on the last verses you have the words reverse. You start with a cypress dark rather than dark cypress.
Mm-hmm.
And then you switched out on the second line of that third verse, on blinking sandstone foam, and on the last verse you have blinking on sandstone foam.
Yes.
And then you have dissolves binding on both verses, and then the last line of each verse are different again. You say, guide, I'm near home. The sandstone foam dissolves, binding, guide, I'm near home. And then you have on the last one, dissolves, binding, a guide, I'm near home.
Yes.
Changes. Well,
yes.
So what caused you to write it that way? I mean, there's subtle changes that I really don't think a lot of people would notice.
A guide on near home, because it gives it more finality than a guide on near home. Guide on near home just sounds like you're transiting. You put an A in there and it sounds like the last line. And the first one, I like the idea of the blinking sandstone foam, but I like the fact that the light becomes blinding and so it blinks on the foam. It's just slightly different meaning between the two stanzas.
Well, I thought that was brilliant. Hatter, what did you think?
I was all my messing around, my phone froze. I was unable to follow, but I'm catching up now. Dark sweat. Yeah, I have to reread it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought it was a little bit. It was a little dark too. The mood of it was dark.
Yes.
I thought.
The mood was dark. Yes, very much.
Yeah. Tails of cattle to ocean swishing they fan, and you can, and this is okay. This is classically you. So the cat, you know, you can see that the cattle walking towards the water and their tails going. Um, Now, then you go see, there are deep baying echoes in gray quarters, meaning, I'm going to say, meaning gray quarters of gray matter of your brain, maybe. I think that's what it sounds like to me. Yeah.
Yeah, I could say that.
And salt water entwines me within sand. So you're going from this meadow, this fluorescent green meadow, and the cows,
yep.
And the sound of their baying,
yes.
Etched deep in your brain, and then you jump to the salt water entwines me within the sand. So I'm not sure of the relationship of this meadow and the cows.
Yes.
But, and then the salt water entwining you with sand. Can you enlighten me a little bit?
Yes. Yes. Well, the my old family farm was down at Portland, and so if you sort of turned around and looked one way, you could see these meadows of grass. If you turned around the other, you could see the ocean and hear the ocean. And if you turned around the other way, you could see the cemetery where my relatives are buried. And you can actually see all three in the one sort of vista.
Just by turning in a slightly different direction.
Yeah, yeah. So you face one way and you...
The salt water entwines me within the sand, specifically...
Yes.
Does that mean that those three areas that you can see from that sandy area are
yes.
being braided together? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, I'm basically saying that all three are braided together. That's exactly right.
Holy guacamole. How do you think of writing this way? Like, I'm really blown away by people like you who can say something in such a different. Now, I like reading this kind of thing too, because I like dissecting it and seeing what
yes.
does it mean and where it's going. And the whole poem is like that. And waves as brumbies break over islands, rock thrones are penguins kinning, and
kining.
Cloud storms
yeah,
kining. Cloud storms,
yes.
dual green bands, sea lighthouse, gold finding. What are brumbies?
Wild horses. And so when waves come in, when they're sort of being tipped at the edge by winds, it sort of looks like
yeah.
the manes of horses, right? It does, yeah.
Oh. And rock stone thrones hear penguins kining.
Yes.
And I'm going to say that's literally that the penguins live there. And they're
yes, that's right.
upon the rocks
that's
that are
right.
on this beach.
Yeah, there's an island off the coast of Portland that you can see, reserve, called Lady Julia Percy Island. I'll get it right in a minute. And that low-slung piece of rock is basically where there are penguins and seals and lots of sharks out in the water.
Oh, wow. And so I'd like to, I hope you don't mind me doing this with your whole poem, because I think it's very interesting. Sea lighthouse, gold finding. Now, we can take that a couple of, see the lighthouses there, and then the light coming from that can look like a golden light.
That's correct. That's exactly where I was
and,
going, yes.
Yeah. And then the cypress tree.
The cypress tree.
The dark
cypress,
a swept blinding on blinking sandstone foam dissolves binding guide. I'm near home.
Yeah, the
and
whole
I think
peninsula
that
is made of Lady A. So basically there's all of these little caves that are etched out of the water, and that's why you've got the sandstone foam, because the water goes through the sandstone and wears it away, and you get all these little caves.
Yeah. But you could also read into that, tie the lighthouse into that, especially the last line of that third
yes.
verse.
Yes.
the light, the lighthouse light guiding you home.
Yes.
And then you're including again, you know, the standing in the cemetery, and the winds are blowing. And a family plot is uncovered as casket joins. So you have this person who's passed away, who's being lowered into the ground with the mm-hmm. other relatives, and
yep.
Sears, a distant roar echoes over the waters. Breeze pries and racks as I stand. So to me, that's keening and wailing and crying over that lost one. That's grieving.
Yeah,
that's what I read.
Yeah, and the wind.
One thing, lady.
Sorry, I didn't hear either.
Cows don't bay, nor do they bray. They moo.
Yes, they moo, but we're taking poetic liberties here.
We are.
Okay.
Very true.
Okay.
Moo's a terrible word in the poem. Baying's much better.
Oh. So then you talk about, so you have this person that's grieving, and that the water and the roar of the voice of that grief, the tears falling, and you know the breeze is interpreted. You know, you could feel that breeze pushing against your chest, and you can hardly breathe when you're grieving that way. And then darkness, it does grip you. It grips you and overtakes you, and you do shiver from it. And then again, you're going darker. You're falling into the depths of darkness, into the depths of despair, of grief, perhaps. And then again, the lighthouse. Okay, the lighthouse is still out there, and the gold is still something that you can search for and grasp onto that gold of the lighthouse light to bring you back. Then you can interpret it both ways. Does this person make it home, or does this person make it home? Because home can
be
life's end into
home can be
heaven,
yes.
or does he virtually physically get home because of this light? This is really quite deep, and I like to talk about poetry in this way because it offers so much information as to the writer's mind. But I think you wrote something that I like to think that people, when they look, our show's going to, I'd like to think that this would be something that could be studied in the way that we've just briefly discussed it. But I'm going to have to say my thanks to Deborah Lee and to Hatter and AP and Sky, who have called in, and Poetic Picasso for writing in. Stephen called too briefly. Our Heavenly Angel Budo, I thank you all for taking part in tonight and submitting your poetry and your songs. And it's much appreciated. Thank you, Deborah Lee, for doing all that you do for us. And thanks for the great conversation about your poem, AP, and for all of the other poems that came in the comments that came. I enjoy this very much. I thought I was going to have to end the show sooner than this, and we haven't. And it's right to the 2 hours. And perhaps another time we can review some poetry in this kind of depth. I very much liked it.
Cool.
And
sure.
Yeah. So what do you have to do? Want to run a show by us there, guys? If we get cut off, I just want to say thanks again. But do you have a program that's coming up, either one of you?
We have the Saturday show, which is the non-rhyming show. But Hatter, I've got a little problem because my brother has arranged a surprise birth for my mum. I'm not quite sure how I can host a radio program and be at an 80th birthday celebration, but I'll take advice.
Yeah, family's first. Family comes first. Yeah, no problem. It's the same Friday. Usually is the man cave, and it's Stephen can't make it, so I'll be winging it two nights in a row, it looks like.
I'd love to be there, but as I said, I suspect my life won't be worth living if I miss an 80th birthday.
Your mother's 80th birthday?
It is my mother's 80th birthday, yes, on Sunday.
Wow. Good job.
Oh, happy birthday to your mum.
Yeah, she's good. She's great. Yeah, does fantastic work. Helps
Perfect.
Me out a lot.
Isn't that nice?
Oh, yeah. No, I get on with my mum fantastically well. I speak to her every day, Lady O.
Do you? Wow.
I do. Yep.
Well, that's a beautiful thing in itself.
Yep. So, no,
someday,
we've always got on really.
That's wonderful.
So
with that, I'm going to bid you guys good night, and I'm hoping that you'll have a good weekend coming up, a good rest of the week.
Absolutely.
And I think tomorrow night is not Pretty Bird. I think it's Sweet Pea tomorrow night.
I think it's Sweet Pea.
If I'm not mistaken.
On the dragony sort of stuff, because she wasn't able to do that show there, so I think it's a holdover. But anyway, I could be wrong.
All right. Well, in any case, I'm going to bid you all good night. Bonsoir, mes amis. Je t'aime. And we'll see you soon, both of you, and take good care of each other. And we can. What does Deborah say? Love and respect.
You can't. You don't have to go home, but you just can't stay here.
That's it.
Yeah. Okay. Hey guys, thanks so much.
Thanks, bye.
All right.
Talk soon. Okay. Bye.
Thank you.